So at the bottom of the previous page, the bottom right-hand side, chapter 23, 55, it talks about the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee. And they're the ones mentioned at the beginning of the next chapter. So chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man," so that's a name Jesus, Old Testament name from the Bible Jesus used for himself, "the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, this is the name of the women. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Those were the strips that Jesus' body had been wrapped in. They were lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that open. We're going to be thinking about that together. To begin with, we're going to go through the account again using some pictures on the big screen, not the bottom one, on the top one. This is the Easter story, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. So we've got here we go. This is the story of how God sent someone to fix everything, and that someone is called Jesus. There you can see Jesus. He's putting his hand on that. What do you think he's doing to the man who's wearing green? What do you think he's doing for him? Yeah? Yeah, helping him see. He's a blind man. So Jesus is helping people, but some people at the other side there, they didn't like how Jesus fixed things. And they closed their eyes to what God was doing, and they closed their hearts and said no to God. They put Jesus on a cross to die, and a cross is where they put bad people in that time to kill them. They put his body in a grave and rolled a big stone in front of it to shut it. It sounds like that's the end, but it wasn't. 1, 2, 3 days later, what? When Jesus' friends came back, the big stone door was open and Jesus is not there. The tomb was empty. And then blinding bright angels told them, "He's alive. He's all better." And then they said, "Don't you remember what Jesus said?" And that's a picture of Jesus telling his friends when he was with them, "He told you he had to die and then come back alive again." So it wasn't Jesus who said no to God. It wasn't Jesus who was unkind. It wasn't Jesus who should be put on a cross to die. But Jesus died instead of us. The Bible says Jesus didn't come just to fix a few things, like some people whose eyes couldn't see. He did that. But he came to fix the thing that makes everything broken. And the thing that makes everything broken is that people are lost from God. Now, anyone who trusts Jesus is found by God again. Not lost, they're found by God and they're friends with God. Jesus came alive again. And that tells us that one day, after we die, if we trust him, everything will be fixed. Can you see, what's that girl doing with her wheelchair? Yeah? Pushing it away. She doesn't need it anymore. She's leaving it in the old life, and in the new life she won't need it. All those things that are part of our lives being broken, we won't need in the new life with Jesus. And all those problems we have in our relationships with each other won't be there in the new life with Jesus. Thank you, Aniola. So, in the story, remember the people who shut their eyes to God and shut their hearts to God, they hated Jesus, they made him a prisoner, they put him on a cross. What kind of people did I say were put onto a cross? What kind of people? Yeah? Bad people. Well done. That's exactly what it said. Bad people get put on a cross. Jesus was put on a cross like bad people. He was killed. And when he was dead, his friends put him in a hole in the rock called a tomb, and people rolled a big stone across the front of it like a door to shut it. Who went to see Jesus and what did they take? There's a question for you to answer. Who went to see Jesus and what did they take? Who was it? Some women, that's right. Brilliant. And what did they take? Some spices. Well done. They took spices, which are smelly things. We normally think about spices for cooking. You put spices in spicy food. But here are these women. They're not going with to do cooking. I just probably wasn't that big. It's just the shape I had. But they took some things that would stop a dead body going stinky, because a dead body goes stinky, and Jesus is dead, and his body's going to go stinky. So that's what they need it for. But when they get there, So the stone was rolled away, and what wasn't there? When they got there, what wasn't there? Something wasn't there. They came to look for something, and it wasn't there. Daniel? Yeah, Jesus, his body wasn't there. It says it in an adult. Tell us, which verse number is that? I've not got it. Where? I've now found it. Which verse number? In verse 3, thank you. Verse 3, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. We're getting the answers from the Bible. That's how we understand God. So his body wasn't there, he was gone. The women didn't understand. They were confused. They were not sure. It didn't make sense. And some people came to, two people came to explain. Who came to explain? Who was it?
The angels.
The angels, exactly right. So here they are explaining to the women. What were their clothes like that day? Can you remember what it said their clothes were like? Yeah? Gleam like lightning. So I don't know if you were able to pick what clothes you put on this morning, but they on that morning when they picked their clothes, they didn't say, oh, should put the brown jumper on? No. Should put on the red tunic? No. Let's put on the lightning clothes. And the lightning, do you think about how bright lightning is? It makes everything shine. If I was wearing lightning clothes, all your faces would be bright from my clothes. That's what their clothes were like. These were super angels. But they were only messengers for God. They weren't the most important people. They were just the messengers. We sang about that. Angels in bright raiment. If you've ever wondered what that phrase means, it means they were wearing the lightning clothes. What question do those angels ask the women? What question do they ask them? This is a harder one. This might be for the adults now who've got their Bibles and they can check. Can you remember what was the question? Exactly, that is the question. That is in verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the... This isn't in the Bible. Why do you think they were? This is for you to think about. Adults, help us with this. Why were they looking for Jesus there? They thought he was dead. And dead people normally stay dead. Yeah, they didn't expect, they didn't think, oh, he might have gone out to the cafe or he might have gone to visit his mum. If he's dead, he's going to stay dead. He's going to still be there. That's what they thought. He's not there. They were looking in the wrong place. Jesus is not there now. He's the living one. And you don't look for the living amongst the dead. That's why they didn't find his body. Jesus isn't a ghost. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus died and then some sort of spirit came alive to him. His body is alive. He left the tomb. And later on people would see him. But at this point they said, verse 6, he is not there, he has risen. God the Father has raised him from the dead. What do they tell the women to remember? Sorry, Bet?
What he told them when he was with them.
Brilliant. Yeah, what he told them when he was with them. Well, let's just check that. Put a finger, if you can do this, put one finger where you are in the Bible and turn back to chapter 9:22. We've got a slide for that, Eniola. Thank you. Page 1039. So it's in the same book of the Bible, Luke's account of Jesus, 1039. You got it? Well done. Do you want me to help you? All right. Yeah, so keep one finger there. And what we're doing, keeping a finger there and turning back to that. Yeah, there we go. It's just down there. Okay, verse 22. It's on the right-hand side. This is when Jesus said it. And he said, Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. So there you go. He had said it. So now, if we go back to chapter 24, the angels are saying to him, remember what he told you. And they did remember. And we see the same words in chapter 24, verse 7. This is what he said. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, that means be killed on a cross, and on the third day be raised again. So what Jesus has said has come true. Jesus is alive. And Jesus said he must be killed and must come alive. Anyone know why that must happen? That's not from the Bible. This is an understanding question. But anyone know a bit more about this? Why must it happen? Why did it have to happen? Yeah, you have a guess?
He has to
die. Yeah, that's right. That's what had to happen. That's what Jesus said. Well done. Jesus said he had to die and had to rise. Why? Yeah, that had to happen for us to save us from our sins. And whose plan was it that would come about? Who do you think said it had to happen? Yeah? Jesus himself in agreement with God the Father. So this is the Father and the Son. This was their plan. And if it's their plan, it's going to come true. It had to happen. So Easter is a happy time. Even though Jesus' enemies hated him and killed him, God the Father made Jesus alive again. And here are two lessons for us because of that. I've got one on the slide there. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus can give new life. So the first thing, Jesus is Lord. There's a crown there to help us think about someone being in charge. Verse 5, it says he's the living one. In their fright, the women bowed down to their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? The one who's living. He's not with the dead, he's living. Verse 6, he was risen but is dead. Let's see what it says. He was not here, he has risen. He was dead, but his Father has raised him to life. And because of that, Jesus is God's way to fix the world. That's the way the story told us at the beginning. He is the Lord. So verse 3 says, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. No one else has ever come back to life again. No prophet in any other religion has done that. No great world leader. Jesus is number one. He's absolutely number one, isn't he? No one else has done that. There's only one Lord. So no other religions can give us life with the living God. Only Jesus can. That's why Christians love to learn about Jesus and find out what he teaches. That's why we sing about him. That's why we who are Christians, we need to take care we don't make him look bad by our lives. Because people see us and they think, oh, there's someone that they're connected to Jesus. We want to take care that our lives don't make him look bad. It means as well, we want to find out how Jesus wants us to live in all parts of our lives, not just some parts. So when we're at work, it's not just for a Sunday, not just for Easter and Christmas. It's for all of the life. When we're at work and when we're not at work. Now, can we do those things in the way that the Lord Jesus wants us to do them? We want to be learning to do that. Not just when we're with some people and not with other friends. So it's different when you're with a person who follows Jesus. You get on with them differently from when you're with someone who isn't, perhaps. But Jesus is still Lord. And he's Lord of them as well as Lord of us. When you're happy and things are going well, how does the Lord want us to show that we're happy and share that happiness? But also when we're disappointed, how does the Lord want us to show we're disappointed in a good way? We don't have to pretend we're never disappointed, because that wouldn't be true. But the Lord is to be Lord over all of our lives, all the times, all the relationships, all the things we're doing, all the experiences and the way we live them. We need help. I find this really hard. And I've got this wrong this week again. I need your help. And you need my help. It's easy to say this, isn't it? But it's much harder to do. We need to help each other to have Jesus as Lord. It's not just for you children. The adults need help. And you can help us, praying for us, reminding us we can help you. The second point, only got one little image for this. Jesus can give us new life so that we don't need to be so afraid of dying. God made Jesus alive again. So when we think about dying, we Christians need not be afraid. Now, lots of people say we shouldn't talk to children about dying. But that's silly, because you know all people die. And children can understand that. And what we learn from the Bible is that Jesus has come alive again. He is stronger than death. Now, we will die. Our bodies will die. And when that happens, we wonder, well, what happened to the bit of that person who laughed and cried, who got tired and who had friends? Where's that bit gone? And because we can't see that bit of them, people get scared about dying. They worry about what happens. But the Bible says, because Jesus has come alive, when his friends die, Jesus will give them new life with him. Like that last picture with the girl who was getting rid of the wheelchair. She'd gone from this life, which was grey with all the problems, had gone into the next life, which was white and new. So we don't need to be afraid of dying. And for us who are Christians, that should change our lives. Really, it should, shouldn't it? If death isn't something to be scared of, how much differently should we live now? And we sang about that in our first hymn. Jesus scatters fear and gloom. Fear and gloom about dying. We don't need to be afraid of that thing everyone else is afraid of. Jesus will sort it out for his people. Well, it is really good news, the Easter story. God has made Jesus alive. He is the Lord. Let's help each other to follow him as Lord. He is the Lord who can give us new life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will say a prayer and then hand back to Joel for the next part. But let's bow our heads, youngsters, to pray, to talk to God about what we've learnt. Almighty God, we thank you that we have been able to see in the Bible words that you have written and that you say are true about you. We thank you that in the Bible we have seen that you made Jesus alive again, and he is the Lord. Please help us to follow him as Lord. and show us how we can help each other, because we do find this very difficult. Heavenly Father, thank you that because Jesus has come alive from the dead, we don't need to be afraid of the day we die. Thank you, that's such a change for us not to be afraid. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.